This morning I want to talk about God and answering prayers. The idea that, as we read in Matthew chapter 7, there's a great blessings, and as it counts your many blessings, Psalm 68 that we sung just reminded me that as we sung through it. God blesses us, His children. God blesses and visits, now the title of the lesson, God visits those who are His, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more in detail, certainly. But there in Matthew 7, about the 7 through 11, our reading, let's read that very quickly here again. Ask and it will be given you. So Jesus, as He's teaching and talking to His disciples there, who He has already warned them about being, or warned them about trusting in the material in Matthew 6, right? And then he told them, don't be anxious, right? God takes care of the world. We talked about that a little last week. God takes care of the world. He takes care of the flowers and all those things. And don't forget who God is and what He can do. Don't be anxious. Don't trust in materials, and don't be anxious over materials. And then in chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him that knocks it will be opened. The great statement of faith that we can have as children of God, as servants of His, that we can have in God. And that's where we tie into our lesson today. And our lesson specifically is about faith and relationship to prayer and prayer to God. So last week we talked about God's defenses. God defends us from worldly evils. That comes up in Romans chapter 8, especially from Satan himself. We talked about how Job was protected. Right? And it doesn't mean all, just because we have defenses from God doesn't mean our life would be easy. You know, we talk about that because there's a purpose for trials. But we talk about we're protected from Satan. If Satan had his free will, he could destroy us. He could annihilate us. And so every day of our life, God is active. I don't know if we always think about God that way. I think, and that's why I'm enjoying these lessons myself to talk about this, because sometimes, I know at least in my life, I've looked at God and put Him in a kind of a box and said, you know, He's just over there and He's kind of just let everything go in motion and the world just continues as it always has, and that's not our God. He is active to this very day. If nothing else, He's got a throttle on Satan saying, you can't do this to these people. God is there. He's to our defense. Even from devastation, we kind of, I use that word loosely, right? He protects us. He clothes in Matthew 6, clothes the flower of the field, and then all the teachings there. It's the work of an ally. It's the work of someone who is for us, who wants us to succeed, who loves us. As we sung in our song before the Lord's Supper, He loves us. Loves us so much He gave us His Son. He is our ally. He wants us to succeed. He doesn't want anybody to fail. And ultimately, I use this phrase a lot in my own life. God is still God over His creation. He has not quit being God. He is still God, and He is still present. And in particular day, He visits His people. And so as we look and consider this thought, we're going to talk about this on several levels here, but I want to start out, though, is in 1 Peter chapter 3. We have several passages, and if you would like to grab one of those lesson sheets that's on the back, the outline, the lesson that we're following today is back there. I encourage you, if you forgot to grab one, go ahead and get it. That's perfectly fine. And follow along with us here. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. In 1 Peter 3, verse 12. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and He is attentive to their prayer. His ears are attentive to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So there is a profound statement. It's a statement of fact. God is aware. He sees and He hears. He sees and He hears the righteous. It specifically says there. So the idea of seeing is He's aware of. He sees our trials. He sees our struggles. He is not behind some planet somewhere. It's not something obscuring His view. He is active in that He sees us. This very day He's watching us. And so He knows our needs. He knows our desires. He knows our troubles. And on some level, and I don't want to get too deep into this, He knows what's good for us in the future. So as we go forward in this life, we can trust in Him to know what's best for us. Right? So He sees and knows and He hears. The idea is that He listens to us. He listens to us. There's an ideology out there that everything's already set in stone. God has control of everything. And that statement is flawed. It's not a perfect statement. It's not a good statement because God does listen to us. He does hear our prayers when they come up. And He does change. And I have another lesson to deal with that specifically, actually. But He listens. And I can't forget from Psalms 11:7, as we studied a long while back now, but the righteous Lord loves righteousness, and His countenance does behold the upright. He is aware. He sees. He's not checked out. He's not on vacation. He didn't disappear. He's here. He's active. He's listening and attentive to our prayers. He hears the righteous. So when we talk about faith, we know God's listening. He hears us. We don't have to yell louder. Remember when Balaam or the prophets of Baal and Elijah interacted, you know, and Elijah charged the prophets of Baal. Well, maybe he's on vacation. Holler louder. He's gone a long ways. He's on a journey. That's not our God. That's not the God. That's not an attribute of a God. And so Elijah mocked them there because their God wasn't answering them, right? God loves righteousness, and He beholds the upright. And the idea is, if we're His children, and we're searching and seeking for Him, as Matthew 7 spoke of, He's aware of us, and He's concerned for us, and He does things for us. He's not just an inactive God. He is listening to do. He's listening to act. He's listening to intervene, even. And so He is there, having faith in God. Even what we don't know. And I think this is something that I've only come around and realized and acknowledged in the last couple of years. Maybe this last year. Is even things we don't know. We often, and we talk about things so much that we know all these things. We're not omniscient. God is. He's told us some things, and we know some things. We don't know everything. We can't look in the future and say what's best for us. Maybe the trials that we're enduring right now are good, are necessary for future purpose. Maybe the ease right now is good for some future purpose. We don't know. God does. God does. He is God, and that's what makes His attributes promising and faithful and have trust in Him, because He does know. He does know. Then the blessings, as we talked about in Matthew 7, as we reread there a little bit, Matthew 7, verse 7, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened. And I've already butchered it, it's not that complicated. Ask and it will be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it will be opened. Jesus teaching, listen, God listens. He adheres. You trust in Him. It will be okay. And so the question, are you a seeker? All right. So as we look at the outline there of the context in Matthew 6, don't put your trust in yourself. Don't put your trust in your riches, but trust in God. Don't be anxious for anything. Matthew 6, trust in God. So much so, ask, seek, find. And what nature does God approach us? What nature? What attitude does He have? It's like a father does to a child. This is how we should expect God to respond in verse 9 and 11. What man, and who is there among you, when your son asks for a loaf of bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? You know, you ask for something, God wants to do what's good for you. And God will do what's good for you. He's not going to give you a serpent. He's not going to give you trouble because you ask. He's going to give you what's good for you. If you, being evil or worldly, carnal, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, verse 11, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give is what is good to those that ask Him? Have faith in God. Trust in Him. He's going to deal with us as a father does a child. And so that is a faith that we can have and a trust we can have as we walk in this life and endure trials, endure conflict and difficulties. We have that Father. Our Father's on our side. He's our ally. And the persistent widow gives that same verbiage. about as a father does a child. There in Luke 18, he's going to listen. In Luke 18, 1 through 8. Verse 7. Will not God bring about justice for those who elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will bring about justice for them quickly. That is, he will listen. God does not have a respect for persons, you know. So he's going to listen. He's going to do what's good for us. And that's the nature of it. He wants to hear and he will listen as a father does a child. And then we refer back to Ephesians 3, the idea that we can't know all things. We're not omniscient. And that really puts us in our place because we want to know. We want to know the outcome. We want to know everything we can know. And sometimes we even hesitate to make a decision and make action because we don't know. And sometimes we're just not going to know. God does. And that's why, you know, think, let God be God. Let God be God. Let him know of our troubles. But say, and we're going to, and we don't get too far ahead here, but he will make the right, he can do the right things for us. He can help us in the right ways. Because it's even beyond our knowing. And we're not omniscient. He will know. That's Ephesians 3:20. We've spent time already discussing that particular passage in its place in our relationship with God, in its place with our faith in God. Know that he knows, he can know, and he does know beyond anything we can know and understand. Again, another of those passages that deals with the obscure of what we can't understand in Romans 8. The Spirit makes intercessions for us for things we don't know according to the will of God. Again, something we can't know, something we don't know and we don't understand. And I can't explain that except it does. We have faith in that and we can know. We can have faith and know. And then this idea of praying in faith. God wants us to trust him. And it's necessary. Remember where we started with the series, Hebrews 11:6. We must believe that God is and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That is a necessity, as we've talked about. James 1:5, as James deals with wisdom and it says, pray to God. And notice what qualification there that James adds. In James chapter 1 and verse 5 through 8, I will read that here. If any of you lack wisdom, so the particular topic is wisdom, but notice what James says about this prayer that you're to offer. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to you. Well, it sounds a lot like Matthew 7 there, asking it will be given. Right? Ask God, it will be given. Wisdom will be given. But, verse 6, ask in faith. Be of faith. Have faith that God will respond and God will do. Let him ask faith without doubting. No, so here's a little bit of a challenge for us here. Realize the consequences. For he who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. That man, verse 7, should not expect that he would receive anything from God. The man without faith, the man who prays without faith. Well, I don't know if God's going to do it or not, or I don't know if God hears me, and you just pray to pray, right? Because that's what we do. No, James says pray in faith, and if you pray without faith, don't expect God to do it. God wants us to believe that he is, and he rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We must believe. It's a necessity. It's kind of like that leap of faith. And it's not blind faith. It's not blind. We see and we know and we can look around us and see God's handiwork. We know God exists. Believe he is and that he rewards. He sees after our needs. And that certainly this reward could be heaven itself, but we're establishing here that's not all God does. That's not all God does. And then James also, a little later, deals with a selfish request. Well, you know, sometimes we might ask for something we shouldn't, right? We might be known to do that from time to time. Notice this particular request here in James 4, in verse 2 through 4. And it has to do with their sensual desires. They love prominence and preeminence and to look affluent and to have prestige. And that was the nature of these Christians that James wrote to. You lust and you don't have, so you commit murder. You're envious and cannot obtain. You fight and quarrel, You do not have because you do not ask, and you ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you can spend it on your pleasures. They were selfish. And we can talk specifically about that, but anything that is for our own selfish ambition, selfish desire, you know, God knows what's good and right for us, what's best for us. So for us to ask for something frivolous as to promote ourselves, he says, don't do that, right? You're not going to receive those things. If you don't pray in faith, you're not going to receive it. If you don't believe that God's willing to do, then you're not going to receive. It's not going to happen, and neither will it happen if it's selfish. We can get caught up in selfish requests. I mean, in reality, even during times of trials and stress and strain and conflict, we want relief. But I think it's important for us to pray. If we want relief, we get it in God's time, not ours, right? We always want to have our mindset on what His will is, what His plan would involve, what helps us. In 1 John 5, if we ask anything according to His will, right? So there are things it's best to leave in God's hands. There are things that are necessary. Well, those are trials. Right, we will come to God and say, "Look, I want help. I want out of this. I want relief." There are times that we need to endure. There's other times God can say, "You know, I can do that." You know, Paul prayed. He said he prayed three times that thorn of flesh be removed. Well, the third time God said, "Oh, obviously you mean it. You asked three times. So I'm going to do it." Right? That's not what happened. No. Response was, "You know, Paul, you're going to have to endure this. This is necessary." Know and have faith in God that whatever we do, whatever we endure, whatever He allows us to endure is for our benefit, for our good, that brings about our growth and brings about our development. And growth and development is hard, it's painful. And yeah, I mean, I can speak for myself. Sometimes I want out of something, you know, give me some relief. It's like, oh, Jerry Cloud, we're maybe too far north for this, but Jerry Cloud loved to coon hunt. And one time, I don't remember which character it was, climbed up in a tree with a coon. And he hollered down, "Just shoot up here amongst us. One of us has got to have relief." And sometimes we get that way in life. Just give me some relief. One of us has got to, something's got to happen. Well, sometimes things are for our benefit. And James talks about that in James chapter 1. There are difficult trials. Leave it to God. Let Him, you know, pray. Paul prayed. Sometimes the answer was no. You know, Paul, endure. It'll be okay. And that's about having faith in God. It's having faith and know that even if I'm enduring something, that it must be for a purpose and I can endure this, right? I can't overcome. I can have faith in God knowing that it's don't lose faith in God because you have difficulty and trials. Know that it's for your benefit. Endure them patiently. Endure them even with joy. We can learn how to do that, knowing that those things are good for us. So pray in faith. Pray in faith. And then I wanted to deal with this. Because we're always quick to say, "Hey, well, you know, God does not hear sinners," in John 9. Well, who qualifies this? Who is the sinner? Who does God not listen to? Well, I think it's important to note, when we, in 1 Peter 3, talked about the righteous. Well, who are the righteous? Who are these people that God, a worshiper of God? Well, how about Acts 10 for the place to go for that? Cornelius, a Gentile who was not yet accepted in the kingdom. He was a devout man. But notice, God, he feared God. He was a good man. He did good things. But he wasn't a Christian. And sometimes we want to paint God saying, "Oh, God only listens to Christians." Cornelius was a seeker of God. And I have one other path to go on this about who God listens to. Sometimes we get kind of haughty and say, "Well, he's not been baptized for the remission of sin, and God's not going to listen to him." Well, neither was Cornelius. Neither were a lot of other people. Again, this is one of those situations where, you know what? I'm not omniscient. I don't know everything God does. I don't know why God does what He does. I just got to leave God and let Him do what He does. Let God be God. And as long as I'm a seeker, I'm a worshiper, you know, Simon, you know, the passage where we turn to there, Simon as a Christian, a baptized believer, God heard, said, "Pray to God that this sin be forgiven you." Okay? God does hear. And if we think God only listens to people in the Church of Christ, I think we've got it wrong. Cornelius wasn't there. And there's some other examples of that. The Macedonian call. People in Macedonia had, and certainly that was a miraculous one, by all means, as a lot of this interaction Cornelius had was miraculous, so there's some things that happened. God, and again, I don't want to delve too far into that lesson, God works outside of what we might think sometimes, outside of our boundaries. And there's a few examples we talk about. Cornelius is the hands down, the one that we look at. Cornelius was a seeker. He was looking. God gave him opportunity. In that case, he gave opportunity through Peter. So who are his people? God is there for those who are seeking him. Whoever is seeking him, God will provide a way. Right? God will provide a way. He did that with Cornelius there. God, the word, God visits his people, I actually took from here Psalms chapter 8. Psalms chapter 8. Look at that reading. There's a couple of psalms that I found that tied in nicely with the lesson. Go look at that one. I didn't reference Psalm 116, but it's a good one as well. But Psalm 8, look at there at verses 3 through 9. I don't remember. Yeah. Psalms 8, verse 3 through 9. When I consider your heavens, the work of your hands, the moons and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him? And who's the son of man that you care for him? Who are we? Who is man? And you've created all these things, and here we little man, these little people crawl upon this earth, walk upon this earth. You're mindful of us. You take thought of mankind. You consider us. You are God. You create all these things, but you still think about me. And who is the son of man that you care? Why would you even care for me, a man? Yet you have made us a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him a ruler over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. And there's a pattern. Now it continues on there, and you'll probably notice this has that reference. There's a Hebrews 2:6 reply that applies this to Jesus, but yet we see these things still apply to mankind. We were given dominion over his creation. We were made less than God. We're not God. We're not spirit beings in that sense. We're not even angels. We're beneath angels. Crown him with glory and majesty. We made us special. You gave us a spirit, and we have a nature that's different than the animal kingdom. So it still applies to us. He looks after us. He sees us, and we're ready to aid us. That is God, as the psalmist talks about here. And again, you'll recognize this in Hebrews 2:6. It is absolutely applied to Jesus in a more authoritative way, or more excellent way. Jesus applies even more so because Jesus was creator, so his dominion was even higher than God gave man over creation. He gave us dominion over creation, but Jesus' dominion was even higher. So Jesus is even beyond what ours is, obviously. But this does apply to us, I believe. This idea that God visits his people is the same. This is a Hebrew, but the thought is the same as what's given in James 1:27. We're to visit the orphans and widows. And the idea of visiting is not go knock on the door and look in and say, how you doing? Okay, great, see you later. That's our term of visit sometimes, is visit. Sit down and talk, chit-chat, right? The idea of visiting is to see after their needs, to be active in helping and supporting and giving the things that are necessary for them. It's not just to look and say, yeah, you're still there, right? It's with an eye of to change and to help and to relieve is what is the plan. So God visits his people. He looks at us to help us, to see to our needs. So that is the idea that is involved when God sees us. He sees to our needs. So 1 Peter 3:12, he sees and hears the righteous, it specifically says there. Ask, seek, and knock. They're in Matthew 7. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be answered. And then Ephesians 3, know that God can do beyond our comprehension. Let God be God. Let God be God. Trust and have faith that God will be God, and God will do what's best for us. Pray in faith. A prayer that is not in faith is will not be listened to, will not be responded to. Pray in faith to God. Who are his people? The seekers or worshipers, right? God visits his people. He is mindful and sees our needs. So again, so lessons as we've talked through this, ask in faith. Have faith in prayer. Trust it. Believe it. Trust in God's power and ability. Trust in God's wisdom of when to do as well. And maybe we don't get what we want and what we desire. Let God be God and continue to focus on our own objective here to live and to serve him faithfully, enduring the things that are trials in our life. God does bless. We are recipients of God's blessings, and not just spiritual. Yes, we pray for relief and ease and comfort, but it may be, like with Paul, we need to find a way through a certain circumstances. We need to learn to deal with it, to become stronger as we endure things, right? But trust in God to respond. You know, he didn't promise us, when we look at Matthew 6, he didn't promise us air conditioning. I enjoyed some air conditioning on the way home. We're driving across the state of Iowa yesterday. So the reality is, our life here may be such that we don't have the comfort. But that's okay. Life under the sun is not about comfort. Yes, we focus on it by all means, but it's not what life under the sun is about. And we also have, we live in this age of insurance. We don't risk a lot in this life. It's not necessary to risk a lot. We have insurance on our home. If it burnt down, we can get money for it. You do too. You got it in your car. If you go out and wreck a big semi-truck and destroy $1 million worth of produce or product, our insurance will cover it. We don't have that risk that people used to have. You know what? If we sat out there and planted our gardens and hoped for rain, we would have a lot. I guarantee you, we would see the need for God much more so, right? Because we know in previous societies, they didn't have Social Security, right? That's the insurance. They don't have unemployment insurance. They didn't have those things. People got hungry. People looked out across their field and says, what are we going to eat this winter? They looked at the livestock and says, I don't know if he's going to live. And they certainly felt the need for God. They felt the need for God. They saw the need for God. They wanted, desired this higher power to help bail them out. And today we have insurance. It's just a warning for us. Look, don't realize God is there. And only through God can things work out to our best. We may not suffer from a drought today or other things, but we will still suffer. We need to be endured and be prepared and continue to look to God, that he blesses us and that he's there for us and he protects us. There's still bad things can happen today, right? What is good, what is best, leave it in God's hands, right? We know what we want oftentimes, and when we don't, we still leave it in God's hand. Trust, have faith in God. Believe and trust in him that whatever we're going through, whatever is happening, it'll be for our best interest. And what we need to go through. I love that song, It Is Well With My Soul. We sing it often, and I'm not sure, you know, we think about the song as we sing it, you know, and whatever we go through in this life, no matter what, is it okay? We sing it, It's Well With My Soul, but we really believe it, it'll be okay, because it will be, if we're God-focused, if we're trying to serve him, we're seeking him, it will be okay. Have faith in God. Have faith in him. And that Psalm 11, I wanted to leave that with you there. What if the foundations fail? What will the righteous do? What will happen? What will happen on the day that in our lives, something that was very important to us, what will happen when our foundations fail, when that important thing is taken away or withdrawn from, or that day we wake up and we don't see the light? That day that we're not sure how it's going to work out. What are we going to do? Realize, verse 7, the countenance of the Lord beholds the upright, and the countenance of the Lord beholds the just. I didn't put this in my lesson, but it is, I think one of my articles that I put in the bulletin references, in Psalm 116, a Thanksgiving, Psalm of Thanksgiving there. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplication. He has inclined his ear unto me, Psalms 116. Therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. Even the cords of death encompass me, and the terrors of Sheol come upon me. I found distress and sorrow, then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life. And that's that psalm there of thanksgiving and trusting God. And so many psalms are about that, right? So many psalms, as the psalm writers went through there, they trusted in God. They looked to God for His guidance. They looked for God to look to God for their support for everyday living. Oh, that we would! Like that, I honestly, as my own personal life, I know how I rely on insurance. I trust and know that I will have a place to live tomorrow, because if our house burned down, we'll have something take place. There's a motel. And if necessary, I know any one of the members here would put us up in your home. So we have resources. But we still have God. We still worship God. And He is still God over this creation. No matter what happens, rely upon Him and upon the path that we go down, that it is right for us. Trust in Him, especially when it's hard, especially when it's difficult. Trust in Him that it will work out for the best. He is our ally. He is our ally. And of course, you know, if you're going through struggles, sometimes struggles are there to make us change. Sometimes it takes a lot of stress to change. Habits die hard, as they say. I remember as I was going through the program this summer and this fall on running, there were times it got stressful because I had to change some things, and it provoked some change in me, and I realized how difficult change is. I kind of like my routines, whatever they are, and you may like your routines well. Sometimes stress is in our lives because it's pushing us to the right place, and that right place is God. First step, we always talk about encourage. If you've not been baptized, we want to baptize you this morning. Have your sins washed away as Jesus and the apostles taught. Begin that walk with Christ. If you're seeking, I don't mind saying, if you're seeking God, He is there to help you. He's helped to guide you and bring you to a place where you can learn and develop. And I think that's why we're all here today. And if we're on that path, and maybe we fell off. We talked about Simon this morning, how you pray to God. If you feel like you want the saints could help you in that regard, and we could pray for you, and there's something in your life that would benefit from that, we would want to help you in that regard as well. And we want to let you can let us know that as well, as we stand and sing a song that's selected number 647, Almost Persuaded.